Welcome to the New Breed Christian Community, where we're dedicated to deepening your spiritual walk and empowering you to live in the fullness of Christ. Whether you're joining us for the first time or you're a regular part of our community, we're so glad you're here. Get ready for an inspiring session as we dive into the Word of God together, growing stronger in faith and closer to our Savior. Let's begin this journey of transformation and spiritual maturity as we get into the Word of God by our lead steward.
Lord, as we look at your Word this morning, we thank you because there is understanding in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every distraction, every cloudiness in the hearts of men, in the atmosphere, out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Holy Ghost, have free course. Angels of God, have free course for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In the month of May, we have been teaching about what I call practical Christianity and how to begin producing evidence in your Christian walk. How can your Christian life produce evidence? And we spent the whole of last week talking about the first thing to do. We talked about building intimacy with God. We had Wednesday and Sunday just to talk about building intimacy with God last week. And if you remember, we said that there are four areas in which the evidence of Christ must be shown through us. We said victory over sin, victory over the human nature of darkness, victory over Satan, and victory over earthly and natural limitations. And on Wednesday, we began to talk about what we must do to walk in the reality of each of these victories. And we began with overcoming temptation, victory over sin. Are you with me? Wednesday's service was titled, "Help! I'm drowning." Because there are many Christians, I'm not talking about the unsaved now, I'm talking about those who are born again, Christians, who, even though they are born again, they are living in contradictions, they are drowning in the sea of temptations, in the sea of sinful habits, the struggle with sexual immorality, porn addiction, masturbation, internet fraud, stealing, covetousness, uncontrollable anger. Are you with me? Hatred, competitive jealousy. And you see, one of the signs that the work of Christ is in you is that it is obvious. When people look at your life, it becomes obvious. There is clear-cut evidence that you are from a different country. Are you with me? There is clear-cut evidence that you are from a different kingdom. Are you with me? And so, today's service, I want to address this issue of overcoming temptation. And let me tell you, if you take everything that you hear in today's service, you will have complete victory. Amen. Amen. Also, I understand that there are some people who feel like this sermon may not be for them. You know, "Pastor, I'm not struggling with anything." You will need it soon. Are you with me? You will need it sooner or later. Praise God. Praise God. Another reason why I'm teaching about this thing is because sin gives the devil legal access to manipulate our lives. It is true we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. No matter what you do, the blood of Christ is well and able enough to forgive you. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So by the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiveness is part of the inheritance we have in Christ. Amen. But there are scriptures like 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. 1 John 5, verse 18. It says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Are you seeing that? Are you seeing this? 1 John 5, verse 18. It says, "He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Romans 8 verse 13. It says, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." Meaning, you will give the devil access to bring death into your sphere. Praise the Lord. So the first thing I want to establish here is that One of the major signs of the work of Christ in a man is his practical victory over sin. One of the major signs of the work of Christ, of the proof that Christ has worked in a man, is practical victory over sin. Look at 1 John chapter 3 from verse 5. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 5. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 3 verse 5. It says, "And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Look at that. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He's talking about Jesus here. Now, everybody read verse 6. What kind of statement is this? "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." What? That's strong. Are you with me? That's a strong statement, though. What he's trying to say is not saying that a Christian cannot make a mistake. The Bible says, like we showed on Wednesday, in 1 John chapter 2, he says, "If any man sin, Jesus Christ is the propitiation. We have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ the righteous." So, sin in the life of a believer is an if. It's something that should not always happen. If it happens, he's telling you that God has paid for it already. Are you getting me? Sin in the life of a Christian is not when, it is an if. Are you getting this? But now he's saying in verse 6 of John chapter 1 John chapter 3, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Why is he talking like this? You're going to find out very soon. Please, are you with me? Everybody read verse 7. It says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Strong statement. You know, John the Apostle is the kind of apostle you can call practical apostle. If you read his books, from the Gospel of John to the Epistles of John, you know that thing. It's not show walking. That's John. He will tell you, "Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Now look at verse 8. Verse 8. It says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested." Okay. 1, 2, 3, go. "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In this context, what is the works of the devil that Jesus came to destroy? Sin. Are you with me? Look at that. In the same verse, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So the works of the devil that Jesus came to destroy is sin. Now look at verse 9. Verse 9 answers the question why he has been talking like this from the very beginning. Look at verse 9. Everybody read verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." So that means if you see a person continuously in sin, it is either he is not born again, are you with me? Or he's born again and there is something not really right in his Christian experience. There's something he has not put in place. Are you getting this? He says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." See, the reason why he's talking the way he has been talking since is because when you get born again, the nature of righteousness has supplanted the nature of sin. Are you with me? God has done something. Look at the statement he used. "His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." So, it's something about a nature. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So he's telling you that if you are in Christ, God has given you a new nature that has destroyed the nature of sin. You missed the place to shout glory. Let me tell you something. I teach like this many times, even though I know that sometimes it's difficult for people to follow. Because, see, when you come to this subject, you are beginning to touch the core of the Christian faith. Any motivational speaker can wear a suit and a tie and say something about you making it in life. And it will sound like what a pastor will say. Because God also believes in your well-being. But by the time you begin to touch the core of what Christ came to offer, you must begin to touch things like this. Are you getting this? Yes, sir. After me, I am in Christ. I'm a new creature. And if you've ever been wondering why new breed is called new breed, this was where it came from. If any man be in Christ, he's a new breed. Yes. That's where we got that, we coined that phrase from. Amen. Amen. All things are passed away. The old nature is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, look at Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Romans 6, verse 5. Just to further buttress the fact that the nature of unrighteousness has been destroyed when you believe in Jesus Christ. See, if you're not born again, this word does not apply to you. If you are not born again, the nature of sin and righteousness is fully blown in you. But if you are here and you have received Jesus, let me see you raise your hand with a shout of glory. So this is for you. It says in Romans chapter 6 verse 5, it says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He's telling you that there is something that happens spiritually. When you got born again, God connected you to Jesus such that when he was planted, you were also planted. He connected you to Christ such that his death on the cross was also a death to your old man. His resurrection was also your resurrection to a new man. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Everybody read verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Are you seeing this? Please, I want you to read it with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Are you seeing this? When he says, if you notice, he did not say the sins of the body is destroyed. He said the body of sin is destroyed. That means the very structure in our inner man that causes us to propel towards sin. He's saying that when you believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus destroyed it. Amen. Amen. Shout glory.
Glory.
He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Say after me, the old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Therefore, I do not serve sin. So, why do Christians and believers still struggle with sin? Why? Number one, I've called it the divine internal conflict. See, when you get born again, the work of God is perfected in your spirit. The life of God is perfected and made available to your spirit. All that Christ did on the cross by his death, his burial, resurrection, it has been packaged together and put in your spirit. But you see, it doesn't automatically mean that your body and your mind has been changed. Are you getting me? Like I jokingly say, Christ is in your spirit, but your grandfather may be in your bones. There may be some patterns in your family. Maybe all of them were womanizers or drunkards. See, you need to have a process whereby your spirit or your mind and your body catches up to what God has done in your spirit. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 7 from verse 22. Romans 7 verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. What's Paul trying to say here? He's saying, because of what God has done on my inward man, it is causing me to delight in the things of God. Are you with me? I want to do the law of God. I want to fulfill the commandments of God. I want to please God. That's a sign, that you are saved. That desire to please God, it comes because you have gotten a new spirit from the Lord, a new inward man. Are you with me? It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. See verse 23. See verse 23. But I find another law. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Are you following this? And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So, you are born again and you have Christ in your spirit. But sometimes there is this tussle. Are you getting this? There is this tussle between what you want to do to please God and what your flesh wants to do to please itself. Many of you have had this experience before where you were in front of a temptation and you could feel someone just holding you back, saying you don't need to give in to this thing. It's as though there's an invisible personality within you just holding you by a strand, saying don't give in to this thing. Sometimes it happens when you want to react. Somebody annoys you on the road, splashes you water, you want to shout, you they mad. As you want to shout like this, you just be God saying, calm down, don't shout, don't lose your tempers. You can feel like a small child is holding you. You know what's happening? The law of God in your inward man. The new creature in your inward man is what is doing that thing. Is what's trying to restrain you. The unsaved person doesn't have that experience. He just goes. Are you getting me? The one who is saved, he can feel God telling him, no, this is not who you are. You are a new creature. Are you getting this? And so, that tussle is there. That struggle is there. And so, your mind is transformed by the ministry of the church and the teaching of the word of God. Your body is transformed by spiritual growth and training. Are you getting this? Number two reason why people, Christians, struggle with sin is what I call lust and free will. Lust. The seeming benefits, the seeming pleasure of sin, the lust of being carried away. You know, you see something like, hey, God, I cannot miss this. Hey, how can I miss this? How will I see this thing and say no? And the devil will be smiling, say, we gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. And the devil has a way of making his things shine. It will just be shining in your front like, yeah, just go. Just the lust of being carried away. You know, 1 John chapter 2, from verse 15, it says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Satan, oh my God. You know, I know we are all quiet, but you can relate to what I'm saying. Yes, sir. Every one of us, we have been tempted in manifold ways. Even as a pastor, I remember when one guy left the prison and he came to church there in Port Harcourt and said he wants to be born again, that he has encountered God. And now he used to be into internet fraud and armed robbery. Listen, and he has stolen $25,000. That he has $25,000 cash with him and he wants to come and give it to me. Then, if we see 50K in the church treasury, the Lord has done it finally. Finally, finally. The Lord has done it finally. Yeah. 50K was a miracle. Somebody's telling me $25,000. I know you have calculated it. I started stammering. You know, I could feel the Lord telling me, hey, tread carefully. Call the lawyer in the church. Involve the police. Find a way to return that thing. Don't. So I said, okay. That's what I will do. And thank God we decided to make that decision, because the guy left He said he's going to bring the money. And in trying to go and bring the money, he stole our, some of our things. You know, I say, Father, thank you for delivering me from the lust of the flesh. Is it what they call longer truth? Yorubas call it what? Ojo Kukoro or something. And there have been many of such things as a pastor. I just said, please. Amen. The lust of the flesh. So when we are carried away, you can feel God pulling you, but you're like, no, God, I can't miss this, Lord. No, I will see you later. James chapter 1, from verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Say amen. Amen. Now everybody read verse 13 with me. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Look at the next verse. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every man is drawn away when he's enticed of his own lust. There is a deeper revelation inside that there. We'll come back to it. But let's move on. The final reason why Christians struggle with sin is what I call spiritual apathy or spiritual sickness. You know, when your immune system is weak, it will not be able to point out when antigens or bacteria has entered inside. And it will be difficult for your body to begin to summon the antibodies to fight back. In the same way, you are more prone to fall into temptations when you are weak spiritually. When you are not where you ought to be spiritually, you are more likely to slip into it. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that mean? Do you know that this verse means that at every point in time in your life, you are not neutral. You are either being transformed by the word of God, or you are conforming to the status quo of the world. You are never neutral. He's saying, and be not conformed to this world, but be yet transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your mind is not being renewed to get you transformed, you are conforming to something. You just don't know it. And guess what will happen? When you are beginning to get transformed or conformed, it will affect the way you view things. Look at this. That here may prove what is that good. You begin to see things differently. You see, when you get to that point when you say, it's not too bad. It's not really bad. You know what's happening? You are conforming and it's affecting your view. You know all those questions people used to ask, is kissing in a relationship a sin? Can't we just kiss? I know we are not married, but we can. You see, what's happening is that there is conforming that has happened and it's affecting your view. It's beginning to review the way you see things. You know, many years ago, I knew when I decided I would stop watching many movies. What they call Hollywood movies. I decided to stop. Because I discovered that at a point in many of those movies, a man and a woman will meet. They are not married. Before you know, people just met right now. 2 minutes they just met. The next thing, they are in bed. Ha! 2 minutes now. Straight up. Sometimes you'll be wondering, what kind of fantasy is this? When they are turned on, they will tear shirts. It's as if, if you don't move fast, something will happen. They will scatter the plates, scatter everywhere, tear somebody's shirt. You will carry the lady and put on the gas cooker. You, what? Guess what? Some people carry all those fantasies into marriage. And when the lady is not acting like a baddie, like the one they watch in the movie, they're like, she's not giving me. Give me the ginger, give me the za. Or when the guy is not acting like, the lady will be like, no, I'm not feeling his energy. They carry those things into marriage. Because they are conforming and it's affecting their view. That means when you are not where you ought to be spiritually, you are more likely to sleep. But you are being transformed right now. Yeah. I said you are being transformed right now. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? Say after me, I'm blessed. So quickly, how do you overcome temptation? Number one, identity. You must remind yourself of who you are. You must remind yourself of, I can preach this one till the end of this service, but we have 3 points and I must finish today. The Bible says in Luke 15 from verse 17 to 18, talking about the prodigal son, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. That means when he remembered who he was, he said, what am I doing here? My father's servants have a lot to eat and I'm here with the pigs, messing up myself. When you remember who you are, it is the first step to recovery out of temptations. See, when you study the Bible, this is the biblical premise for dealing with temptations. It is not first your effort, it is first a consciousness. Are you with me? It is first a consciousness. It says, I will arise and go to my father. Romans 6 verse 1. I love this verse of the Bible. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Now, when he says God forbid, many will stop there. They don't really understand why he's saying God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It says, God forbid. Then see verse 2. How shall we? Do you discover he's beginning to talk about identity? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we? How will it happen? How shall we? I will say something. Just say, respond to me. I am dead to sin. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we? We are dead to sin. How shall we? How? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer daring? How will it happen? Then he begins to explain more. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Oh my God. The baptism here is not water. He's telling you that when you believed in Jesus, God immersed you into Christ. That when he died, the nature of sin died. Are you getting this? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, being baptized into his death, put verse 4 with me. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we walk in newness of life. This is the premise under which he says, how shall we? Now jump to verse 10. To verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Are you seeing what I was showing you? It's a consciousness to have first. Likewise, reckon yourselves. Look at yourself this way. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Now look at verse 12. It says, let not sin reign therefore in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in its laws. So are you seeing? He gives you a consciousness to have before an effort to make. So reckon yourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. And because of that, you will not allow sin to reign in your mortal body. Can I hear you? Amen. Let me show you more. Still on this identity. First Corinthians chapter 6. Now, you need to understand something about the Corinthian church. Paul went to correct the Corinthian church, and these people were given over to full-blown fornication. I mean, there were people in the church who were bragging about this. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll see the story there. There was one guy, he was bragging that he slept with all his father's wives. I know somebody say, I know dude rich that one. The guy was bragging. He said, I'm a Badoski. I operate Okafor's law. And when Paul came to teach them, the first thing Paul paid attention to was identity first. Maybe there is something about this we need to pay more attention to. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now see verse 11. Everybody read verse 11. And such were some of you. So he talks about the evil and puts it in their past. Even though they have made mistakes in the present, he reemphasized who they are in Christ first. Are you getting me? He says, and so were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Can you say after me, I am washed? I cannot hear your voices. Let me tell you something. This is called meditation. That's why I'm telling you to say it. You are driving it into your spirit, man. There is a way you will say these things. Even when you are in front of challenges or temptations, you will be surprised what you will do. Have you ever read that verse in the Old Testament that says you are snared by the words of your mouth? Meaning your words will put cages around you. There is how you will declare the word of God like this over yourself. You can't fall. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus. But pastor, I just fell for this thing yesterday. Are you a Christian? He says you are washed. You are washed. Are you with me? You are sanctified. You are justified. But pastor, I'm struggling. Sometimes it looks so hard. He says, no, you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? Amen. Now look at verse 15. It says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Kapranta kapaya. Jesus. This one, when I was meditating on it, he did not just talk to me about temptation. Do you know what it means when he says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? That means your hand is. See, he's not just talking about the mystical body of Christ. He's telling you that your body, your body, is the member of Christ. That is one of the ways to function in the anointing. That whenever you pray for somebody, this is the hand of Christ outstretched. Whenever you are carrying those goods, Jesus is carrying those goods. How will he not sell? Oh my God. Whenever you are in the office and you are doing that stuff on the computer, how will you get lost? These are the hands of Jesus. Your bodies are the members of Christ. What kind of revelation is this? See, my bodies are the members of Christ. Therefore, sickness cannot prevail in this body. Oh, God. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ. He then says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. You see, are you seeing how he's beginning from identity first? A consciousness to her first. He's telling you, oh mighty woman of God, what are you doing there? How can a giant like you be there? How can someone like you that is seated with Christ in heavenly places, how will you allow yourself come down to this base level? Are you getting this? In local parlance, you don't big pass this thing. You don't big pass this thing. You know, one thing the devil does when he's trying to lure you away, he makes you forget this. When you are alone in the night and you want to just open your phone and watch a pornographic material, he makes you to forget who you are. Forget everything that God has said about you. You that God has shown that you are going to the nations. You that God has said you will do big things for him. He makes you forget.
Pray in the Spirit 1 minute, please. Lord, the word enters. The word enters. I am a member of Christ. My body is a member of Christ. These hands are members of Christ. Libaraga shakatalia kapai. Enkoborobo seketelia. Diko sakapilando kopo sheketelia. Endegesute ketelia kapai. Randagabasute ketetelia. Shembre degeseketelia kapai. My body is a member of Christ. My body is a member of Christ. Amen.
Then in verse 18, he says, flee fornication. So, you see, once again, he gives you a consciousness to have before an effort to make. After he has established who you are before telling you what to do. He first established who you are before telling you what to do. So, number one, identity. Number two, deal with the tendency triggers, both internally and externally. What are tendency triggers? Anything that has a tendency to trigger you to go back to the thing you believe you have left. Anything that triggers that tendency for a particular sin to happen. James chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." See, you must be aware when something foreign is beginning to enter your heart. You must be aware. Because many people, they are trying to fight the battle when the battle has been lost already. They are trying to fight it when the situation and the circumstance has already been created. It has already been set and created for the thing to happen. That's when they are trying to fight. What they are not seeing is that it was created because of what was in their hearts. I've not seen people say things like, "I don't know. Why is that? It is when I want to now see God, I will not fall for this thing. I will just meet up with this guy. I will meet up with this girl. Somehow we will just jam. And one thing will just happen." You know what is happening? It is what was in their hearts that manifested outwardly. Let me show you something. It says in verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Listen, oh. Verse 15. "And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." What you are not seeing here is the same way things are created in our life. This is faith here. This is the mystery of faith and the heart here. That if anything forges and forms in your heart, it will manifest in your life. He says, "And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." So the reason why people fall into that sin is because there was something in their heart that digested, incubated, and gave birth to a situation, a scenario that made something to happen. It bringeth forth sin. So instead of me to be allowing lust be conceived in my heart, let me be picturing land. Let my heart bring forth land. Oh my God. Let me tell you, if you don't know, that is how everything you have seen in Newbury has happened, though. Yes, sir. Those who are close to me know. When we are believing God for our first LED screen, our first screen like this in Port Harcourt, everywhere you will see screens. I used to snap it in the airport. I will always go to the airport. I will snap a picture of LED screen. It's this guy. After that first one has happened, another one has happened in Lagos, it's as if once it is fought and the code is sorted out in your heart, forget it. It will start producing. Take what I'm saying serious. "And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." Instead of you to allow that power of imagination that the devil has been playing with destroy you, use it for your future. Learn to picture yourself coming back from work and your children coming to greet you, daddy, coming to embrace you. Picture yourself like that. Picture yourself with Pastor David. Pastor, this is the land we just purchased. I just called you to just do a groundbreaking. I say, I'm proud of you, son. Let's move. Let's move. Father, we thank you. Say, Pastor, I have other 8 properties. I just want to show you around. I say, please carry me. Carry me. Guess what? It will happen shortly. I want to hear your louder amen.
Amen.
Deal with the tendency triggers. You know, the problem people have is that they are dancing and playing too much around sin and wondering why they are falling into it. You cannot keep walking by the gutter by the edge without falling into the gutter. You cannot keep walking by the edge without falling into the gutter. You will see some people, they will just stay, watch all those things. Every time they are with those things and wondering why situations like that come up. See, it is what you have sowed that you are reaping. Are you getting me? If this message sounds too hard to you, it is because I love you. You can't keep allowing yourself, you and the opposite sex, you are in the same room. You are just touching each other. Say, we're just touching each other. And you think nothing will happen. All those rubbish questions. They say, can you stay with the opposite sex in one room for 1 week and nothing happens? Something will happen. No, I cannot. Something will happen. I'm telling you what will happen. See, Jesus is not impressed by how close you get to sin and don't fall. He say, we almost kissed, but I'm very strong. We almost had sex, but I'm strong. I held myself. It didn't happen. God is not impressed by that one. God is impressed when you flee. God is impressed when you flee away from there. Say, God knows me now. I'm strong. Don't worry. You shouldn't shock yourself. Look at the Bible, the biblical premise about these things. This is the same pattern, though. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Ephesians 4, verse 27. Give no place to the devil. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. Are you seeing the biblical premise everywhere? Flee, flee, flee. Don't negotiate. Don't calculate. Don't discuss. Flee. Are you getting me? If I was too fast, let me say it again. The biblical precedence for dealing with sin is to flee. Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. But you are discussing. Imagine if just said, you know what, Satan, we are not talking again. I'm done. I'm going. But she was still discussing. This fruit, if I analyze it like this, it can really make someone wise, though. But what kind of wisdom can he give? It can give you the wisdom that you will be like the Most High. Are you serious? You are discussing. Everywhere in the New Testament, abstain from all appearance of evil. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee, flee, flee. Give no place to the devil. Flee. In fact, in the Old Testament, it is even very dramatic. When God wanted to deal with the sinfulness of Sodom and Gomorrah, do you know what he did? He brought Lot out. That's a picture of fleeing. Are you with me? He brought Lot out and did not stop there. He rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. There are some of you, you are not just supposed to run. You are supposed to rain fire on that thing. Burn that sim card. Block that person's number. Disconnect. Let fire from heaven burn the bridge. No connection. Don't underestimate what the devil can do. He is called the old age, that old serpent. The age-long serpent. He knows you. He knows that when you see your ex like this, you're like, But it was not that bad. He was slapping you, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad, you know. That guy, there's a way he holds me. When he holds me like this, and Kai, don't worry. you will soon come back under the stronghold. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And finally, how do you deal with temptations? Spiritual rejuvenation. Oh yes, spiritual rejuvenation. Charles Spurgeon says, most backsliding begins with dusty Bibles. See, let me tell you something. I'm telling you this because I love you. This teaching is not done to condemn you. It's because I love you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus does not condemn anybody. Jesus even believes that the more encounter you have with him, the closer you are to him, the farther you will be away from sin. There is something called the beauty of holiness. Have you ever heard of that phrase before? In the beauty of holiness. Holiness is more beautiful than sin. Holiness is more beautiful than sin. You have no idea. Look at Jesus. They brought a woman caught in adultery to him. And he said, if any one of you have not sinned, cast the first stone. And nobody could cast a stone. From the elders to the least, they all left. Then Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How do you know she will not sin again? How are you sure? Jesus believes that if you encounter him once, you have the power not to continue in sin. How much more us that he's living inside us? On the strength of I do not condemn thee, because you encountered me, go and sin no more. Yeah? Jesus, are you sure? Yes, he is sure. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Say after me, I'm blessed. You will need it, oh. You will need it soon. Zechariah 4 verse 6. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now look at verse 7. It says, who art thou, O great mountain? Maybe I may be speaking to you prophetically. You may be struggling with this issue. You can look at it and say, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, before David, thou shalt become a plain. Ah, you missed a place to shout glory. Who art thou, O great mountain? What is this great habit? You know why this is important? Eh? Because there are some habits that are not just because you made a mistake. Some of them are demonically engineered. Satan may be demonically engineering you, playing games on you. They told you that your great-great-grandfather, he was a chronic womanizer from the age of 35. You said, don't mind him, he's a very foolish man. You reach that same age before you know anything is scared. My God. La Balua Cascoda. Ah. You know what's happening? The same spirits that manipulated that destiny wants to play on you again. But by the time you launch into God, go deep into the spirit where the devil cannot find you. You know, the Bible says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know what is the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is that the thing you want to do for the Lord, to live holy, you don't have the power to do it. It's called the law of death. The one you don't like to do, you have energy to do it. It's called the law of sin. Are you getting this? And that is the law that manipulates those who are not saved, who are under the yoke of the flesh, not to please God. But by the time you come into Christ, it says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory. Glory. Amen. Look at Galatians 5 verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Can you tell your neighbor, walk in the spirit? What does it mean to walk in the spirit? Is to let the things of God take over your heart. Open your heart. Let God and his word soak you. Let the word of God be Lord over your life. If the Bible says this, you choose it. If the Bible says you should be excited about this thing, you get excited about it. You begin to put yourself. Let me tell you, nobody was born spiritual. Nobody was born like this and just came. He was very deep in God. No. It did not happen. Everybody began to pay attention. Anybody you see that has gone far with God, they paid attention to the things of God, and the things of God carried them. And you see, the trick here is, in fact, before I say this, look at verse 17. Everybody read verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So that means there is a battle going on. Are you with me? The flesh is trying to draw you. The spirit is trying to draw you, and they are not friends. They lost against each other. When the flesh is the spirit, say you. Every time you'll be taking all these my captives. And the spirit will be like, I will get them free, whether you like it or not. And that battle will be happening. Let me tell you, this thing happens in every area of our life. When you want to pray in the morning, your flesh will say, sleep small now. Sleep small. Can't you see you're tired? 5 minutes will not do you any harm. 5 minutes can become 50 minutes. 50 minutes can become 500 minutes. The flesh lost it against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. You cannot be investing too much in your flesh and expect your flesh to submit to the spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 from verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Are you seeing this? So when you see somebody that is tilting towards the way of the world, the way of the flesh, it is because he has put his mind more on those things. Are you getting this? It is because he has put his attention on those things. If you put your attention more on the things of the spirit will have the preeminence. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. So if you allow yourself to teach more to the flesh, it will produce death in your life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Glory. Let me show you one or two scriptures and we'll just pray from there. Still Romans 8, look at verse 13. It says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Do you know what mortify means? It means to kill. The idea is gotten from the guy who works in the mortuary, the mortician. So, when they bring in a dead body, the person may be dead, though, but there may be some living cells around the person that makes him act as though he's alive. And so, the mortician has been trained to use chemicals and some instruments to ensure that the dead person is dead. So, there is no breath in him. He's dead, but there may be some living cells in his leg. So in the mortuary, you can see interesting things. The person is dead, but the mortuary can enter and just see a leg. A person can just, in the mortuary, the person is dead, but the person can just stand up. Look at this. If you're not, if we don't know that, even though he's acting that way, he is dead. In the same way, when you get born again, your old man, the old nature of sin has died. But you see, sometimes the body can be acting as though it's still alive. Your body can be crying out for something that's not of God as though it's still alive. So you now, as the spiritual mortician, you use the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues and say, you stay there. When your body is beginning to drive you towards the things of the world, you run back to the things of God. You soak in. Are you with me? You soak into the point where your body says, I know who I am. I come back to order. Amen. There's a verse that I like. I'm just reading it because I like it. I love it. Psalm 119 from verse 9. Ah! It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How will a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Everybody read verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, oh my God. He's telling you that when you put the word of God in your heart, the word of God has its own imposing power. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, somebody has asked me one time, he said, Pastor David, I see that in Newbury there are so many beautiful girls. How have you managed? I said, I'm too deep in the Lord to notice. Kapalia Komanai. No, it's not like I don't know. I know. Because the oil upon me has a way of attracting beauty. He says he will give you beauty for ashes. So even if there were ashes around you, just come. By the time you encounter this oil, you become beautiful. Yes, you hear what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Amen. Somebody is laughing. No matter how ugly you are, just come to our ministry. He says we give the oil of joy that replaces ashes with beauty. Amen. But you see, I'm not bragging, no. It's not because I am strong on my own, but you will never hear any scandal. You know why? Long before it will happen, the Holy Ghost will arrest me. Ah, Jesus. Let me tell you. Should I say this? Many times, why Christians fall into sin? They ignore when the Holy Ghost is drawing them. It's not that the Holy Ghost is not drawing them. The Holy Ghost is pulling us. But you see, if you have been weak in Him, if you have sown more to the flesh, you are more likely to tilt to the flesh. Are you with me? Jump on your feet. Some people, they have been using strategy. I will not. Some say, I will not. Yes, you must put boundaries. But you see, your boundary is not enough. You need power. You need the Spirit. It says, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I want you to do something for me. I want you to rejoice as though you already have the victory above temptations forever. Rejoice because you are the righteousness of God. Rejoice because you are the righteousness of God. Aye. Rejoice! Shout glory!